Bless you, brothers and sisters. You may be seated. I would like to greet you all in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And would like to thank the elders of the church, deacons, ministers. God bless you richly.
Deacons, trustees,
for affording us this opportunity to have time to fellowship with you. And I salute all the office bearers of the assembly in whatever office and capacity. And also a special note to Pastor Chesa's family. And we say, God bless them richly. I've come with my wife. She's somewhere here. Bless you. Amen. And our youngest child also present.
He's
very short. So even when he's standing, sometimes he might not notice it. But he had no choice, you know, the genes. Our other older children, three of them, have come for the camp. And in total, we have four children.
Saka tinevana four.
Two boys and two girls.
Vakomana vaviri nevasikana vaviri.
First born is about 19 years.
Wekutanga anenge ari makore 19.
Second 17.
Wechipiri ari 17.
Another one I think 13.
Mumwe wacho anenge 13.
And from Gaborone I think roughly 15 young people desire to come for the camp and they've managed to make it.
And tenda ku Gaborone kwabva vechidiki 13 or 15.
So, we thought it was a good idea to just accompany them. You know, in our days, we did not have such opportunities. So that maybe other times they can even come on their own. We believe it's a very wonderful program to nurture them and nourish them in the way of the Lord when they are still young as they are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We always have you in remembrance. For every time we have passed this way, we always feel refreshed. I note Brother Shamba, I always remember how he's a wonderful MC at weddings.
Brother Shamba, the
weddings, the many that I attended, the reception always feels like it was shorter than the actual time.
Reception one time
I thought maybe one day when we have a wedding in Gaborone we should import him.
He
seems to do it effortless. God bless you, Brother Shamba. God bless your family. Maybe if we could stand up, brothers and sisters, and open our Bibles to the book of Job. Chapter 1,
Job chapter 1,
verse 20 to 22. Job chapter 1, verse 20 to 22.
Job, which is 1, verse 20 to 22.
The Bible says,
Bible noting.
Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped.
Ipapo Job akasimuka, akabvarura nguo yake, akaveura musoro wake, akazuisira pasi, akanamata.
And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Akati.
In all this,
Job says,
sinned not,
Job
nor charged God foolishly.
Kana kuwanira mwari mhosva.
Let's open Isaiah 55.
Tiverenge Isaiah 55.
Isaiah 55.
Isaiah 55.
It says in verse 8 and 9.
Pa verse 8 and 9.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
Nokuti ndangariro dzangu hadzisi ndangariro dzenyu, nenzira dzenyu hadzisi nzira dzangu, ndizvo zvinotaura Jehovha.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Nokuti denga sezvo rakakwirira kupfuura nyika, saizvozvo nzira dzangu dzakakwirira kupfuura nzira dzenyu.
Let us pray.
Ngatinamatei.
Almighty God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, and for this opportunity given to us to be in your house, in your presence. Your word has been read, but Father, if you don't come to our help and aid, it will be vanity of vanities.
Amen.
And we know that any able person who has the basic knowledge of reading and the alphabet can open this book and read.
Amen.
But Father, it takes you to, Father God, to ignite something out of it that can stir our faith, that can comfort us, that can help us, oh God, in our Christian journey. We pray, Father, may you visit us and speak to us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you richly. You may be seated.
I enjoy
this song service very much. God bless you, brother. Now, this morning, let's speak about the view from above. The view from above. And maybe we can say, when heaven appears to be silent. Blessed be the name of the Lord. With recent experience of the passing away of Pastor Chesa, always, even though death, we know it comes to every home. But there's no one who can pretend and say, I am used to it, I am now numb, I have no feeling. And when it strikes a home, strikes maybe a family, or strikes in the church, we are sometimes almost tempted to ask God, why? But we do realize that God has the prerogative to run our lives the way He wants. It is said by some that sickness does not kill. Accidents do not kill. Pressures of life do not kill. But it is said you die because your appointed time has arrived. For you can be hit by a car and come out without a scratch. Someone can stab you many times and miraculously survive. And everybody begins to wonder, but how could this work out? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Maybe to illustrate this point. One time I heard of a story of a businessman who was a German by origin.
And when
his businesses were not functioning and performing well, he decided that he would take his life. So he decided to take 40 sleeping tablets and take a rope as well and then take a pistol and say, I will swallow the tablets at midnight and I will hang myself by a
bridge
of a very big river which has got strong currents. But in case people might rescue me, I will blow myself up with a pistol before anyone can rescue me. And he worked out his grand plan, and it appeared like everything could work out. And at the appointed day, he goes to that bridge. He swallows 40 sleeping tablets. And then he ties a rope around his neck and he hangs down. And while he's struggling a bit, he decided to shoot himself on the head. But alas, something else happened. The bullet missed the head, cut the rope, and he fell into the water, drank so much water, vomited out the tablets, and the waters pushed him to the shore. And when he woke up, he was in the hospital alive. And he says, but how could this be? It is because his time, appointed time by God, has not come. Despite doing everything possible, God had not allowed it. All the scheming worked out opposite. The gun did not cut his life, but cut the rope. The water flushed out the tablets out of his body. It did not flush the life out. The bell had not tolled for him. His maker had not yet said, time up. And when we have come to a point in our life where we reach the end of the master timetable of our life, we cannot extend it by a year, nor by a month, nor by a day, nor by an hour, nor by a minute, nor by a second. We have no choice but obey the call of the Master, calling us out of this mortal temporary tabernacle. This is the time when the contents within the box or the body are released, for it is appointed for a man to live once. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, indeed, if God had immigration offices on earth, when we reach that point, we could go and ask for more days. But lo and behold, God has all the right to take his decisions. And when the appointment has come, appointed time has come, no matter whether one is still on an unfinished journey, or you are still executing an unfinished important project, when God's mission, God's purpose for you on earth is finished, God harvests your way. Then we hear of a young man
who
was busy heading his father's cattle outside the road reserve fence. And he appeared very far from death. For he was close to 100 meters from a road, out in the bush, where all appeared like safe. But it is said while he was still walking peacefully behind the livestock, a wheel came out of a big truck and it rolled towards his direction, and it hit the fence, smashed it down, and followed him as if it was just like a guided missile. And when he tried to turn, because he was hearing some sound, it had already fallen up. It was falling upon him. And it smashed him to the ground. Yet he appeared far from death. Brothers and sisters, may God help us to accept that when the time has come, God many times does not even seek our opinion or our consensus. Whether it's for your child or your wife or your husband, when the time has come, God harvests his child away. And that's why we want to tie in this, the view from above. For God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let's realize the life of Job. The Bible tells us, if we go back to Job chapter 1. Let's go back there, we pick a few things. Now let's read verse 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil.
Kwakanga kune munhu panyika yeUz wainzi Job, munhu wakanga akakwana akarurama waitya Mwari achinzenga zvakaipa.
Now this is the testimony of Job in the land of
Uz. Job munyika inonzi Uz.
Upright, perfect, feared God.
Akakwana akanaka aitya Mwari.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now we come to I believe we can come to pick something here. Verse 8. This is now a meeting between Satan and God. And the Bible doesn't say they were quarreling. It says Satan and God, they talked. But you know, in life, there are people that when they are angry, they don't talk to others. But yet, Satan and God could talk. Now, no matter how wrong someone had wronged you, no matter how evil your neighbor is, no matter how much grief neighbors or relatives have inflicted upon you, oh, you must love your enemies. You must be able and do your best to talk to them. Here is God being able to talk to his bitterest enemy. Let's hear the conversation in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now in heaven, God has a testimony about Job. And God is bragging about the uprightness of his child. But on earth, Job is not aware of the conversation taking place in heaven. And brothers and sisters, at times when we go through trials and testing and difficult times, sometimes we wish God could give us a glimpse of why it is happening. At times we wish God could give us a briefing. But it's not God's nature to give us a progress report, to brief us what he's doing. All we have to do is to accept that God is in control and God knows what he is doing. So the testimony of Job in heaven, brothers and sisters, is that he's a perfect man. Upright man. And God could hit himself on the chest and even brag to his bitterest enemy. Even Satan does not dispute God's testimony about Job. Oh, may God help us. But in our Christian journey, we may live upright in all facets of our lives until God can brag about us. You know, sometimes when we attend funerals as ministers in the African context, sometimes we end up preaching at funerals of not believers, burying some of them. Maybe it's a relative, or maybe a believer's relative. But sometimes you hear people speak about the person. And the community, sometimes they grumble. Amen. Because they know, the testimony in heaven is different. Amen. That's why in one part of South Africa, they were burying someone, they brought him from Johannesburg to his rural home. And they started talking how great he was. But the people in that part of South Africa, they are very candid. They always talk straight. So one of them, the old preacher in the village, says, "Hey, can we stop? Are we talking about the same person or is this a different person?" He stands there, he says, "Hey, those goats that disappeared a few years ago, who stole them?" And the audience say, "Himself. Those sheep and that and that." So although the preachers were trying to force him into heaven, but even his testimony on earth, it was already failing. But we are so thankful, brothers and sisters, when Christ is in you, the hope of glory, your testimony before God is a testimony that can make him to brag about you. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Satan answered the Lord in verse 9 and said, "Don't fear God for naught." And Satan begins to project that Job is worshipping you, God, because you have given him children, you have given him riches, livestock, house. He begins to project that Job is a worshiper because of the material things around him. He begins to project it like Job is he's an opportunistic believer. He begins to project it that Job is only in it for the things around him. But God knew his son very well. Says, "I will release you and I will let you test him. I will let you take the things away from him." Amen. And when the conversation is going on in heaven, Job is not aware. Job is not hearing what God is saying. Brothers and sisters, when you are undergoing trial and tribulation, many times you don't know what God is saying about you. But one thing for sure, if you are his child, when he lets a trial come your way, he would be bragging to say, "I know he can take it. I know he won't deny me. I know he won't renounce the faith." May God help us, brothers and sisters, to realize that when God brings a trial to us, it's because he has confidence in us. He knows you will go through it. He knows you will overcome. He knows you will not deny him. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So God allows the devil to come to hit Job's house. First, when we read verse 14, it tells us that the oxen were plowing, the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. While this messenger is still speaking, or the bearer of the bad news, verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there comes another. Now imagine you have some ngombes, you know, some bushes somewhere, and plenty, maybe thousands. And a message comes to say, "All your cows are dead or taken away." And while the person who is reporting is still telling you details of how it happened, another one arrives. And it's not a bearer of good news. He's another bearer of painful news. Now let's realize there was no breathing space. It was like a catastrophe that hit Job's house. Amen. But realize, In heaven, God had confidence that Job cannot deny him. That Job cannot renounce the faith. That's why we are saying a view from above.
Now,
any object that you can see with your eyes, they always talk about it having three views or three dimensions. If you look at a car from the side, there's a certain profile of shape that you see. If you look at it from the back or from the front, there's a different view. But the same object. But if you look from the top, it's a totally different view as well. Now, with your life, you can look at yourself and have a view about yourself. Your friends and fellow mankind can look at you and look at what you are going through, and they can have another view about you and another interpretation of what you are going through. But when God also looks from the top, when God looks from heaven, he has a different view than it comes from yourself and also from your neighbors and your friends and your relatives. It is better for us to look at ourselves through the eyes, through the way God sees. The view from above is a perfect view, brothers and sisters. A view from above is not contaminated by human thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Even as the heavens are higher, so are my ways higher than your ways. God's ways are past finding out. Amen.
Amen.
So the oxen is taken. And in verse 17, the camels are taken and carried away by the chariots. And in verse 18, while the other messengers also still speaking, here comes the story of all the children. The Bible tells us in verse 19, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I am escaped alone to tell
you.
Now think of receiving the sad news in verse 14 about the oxen being taken. And in verse 16, the sheep, it says the fire of God from heaven. Not from hell, the fire of God from heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Bent the sheep. In verse 17, the camels are taken away. And verse 19, the fourth messenger is reporting that all the children are dead. And for sure, the devil must have said, yeah, you are now going to hear him denounce. I can imagine the devil beginning, if he was like a human being, could dance and say, yeah, just wait now, you are going to see it. You are going to see it. He's going to denounce you. And the Bible says, then Job fell upon his knee. He rent his mantle. I can imagine the devil say, just wait until it comes out of his mouth. But God was confident. God knew that Job knew whom he had believed. And then Job goes on his knees, and the Bible says he worshipped. Brothers and sisters, when we are hit hard by trials, many people stop worshipping. Their worship is affected. So no matter what you go through as an individual, do like Job, the Bible says, in all this, in all this, Job worshipped. Job did not charge God foolishly. Job did not sin with his lips. May God help us to realize there's a purpose why God allows trials to come our way. And when he said, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be his holy name, the devil must have been confused and disappointed. He says, is this normal? Is he normal? With all this, is he normal? Oh, Job knew whom he had believed.
For he knew his Redeemer
liveth.
Amen.
Amen.
And I look and I realize and imagine God saying, Satan, I told you. He is not a worshiper because of the things that I've given him. Brothers and sisters, we are not believers because of the things God has given us. Whether houses or cars or bicycles or whatever. I believe you are a believer because you love God. For these material things can come and go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why we continue to realize in hard times that only your true friends remain with you. For the Bible says, in the book of Proverbs, the wise man Solomon says, wealth maketh many friends. There are people who are your friends, not that they are really your friends. They are your friends because of what you have. And when what you have begins to diminish, your car, your house bends. And you lose your job. Those who are friends of what you have, or friends of convenience, or maybe we can call them technical friends, they begin to disappear one after another.
Amen.
But we thank God that we have a friend who sticketh with us closer than a brother. Whether you are up on the mountain, he is with you. When you are down in the valley, he is with you. Until David said, even when I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the devil's assumption was that Job was a worshiper because of what God gave him. But there is
Job
proving that his worship is not a material induced worship. It's not because of what he has, but it's because he loves God regardless of what he has and what he doesn't have. May God help us. For we live in times, brothers and sisters, where many prophets have gone into the world, false prophets. And all they talk about is just materials. And the prophet says they subtract from the gospel the fact that each one of us must also carry their own cross and die daily. Amen. They take away as if you don't have to go through trials. So now the devil and God talk again. And God says, you see, your assumption was baseless. It's false. It doesn't work. And the Lord says again, in chapter 2 of Job, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hath thou considered my servant Job? That there's none like him on earth. A perfect and upright man. One that feared God and eschewed evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity. Now, after the catastrophe that hit the family, Job still holds fast his integrity. He maintains his integrity. Oh, brothers and sisters, as individuals, when trials hit your home, when they hit you as an individual, the Bible says with the temptation, God will provide a way of escape. Let us always still maintain our integrity. That I am a believer, I shall not be changed. I shall not be changed by circumstance. And it says, although thou movest me against him, to destroy him without a cause. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the devil thought, no, if I can now touch his body,
God
allows him to touch the body.
Says,
but the life, you won't take it.
Verse 7.
So when Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with soils, with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown.
Naizo Satan akabva pamberi paJehovha akarova Job namaronda akaipa kubva patsoka dzake kusvikira musoro wake.
Now it comes to his body.
Zvinozvapa muviri wake.
Material possessions are taken away, the children are taken
away.
Amen.
Amen.
Now think of yourself, let's be honest with one another.
Ngatimborevesai imbozvifunga iwe.
If you don't have cows, but maybe you have $100,000 in the account.
Pama hauna muombe asi une 100,000 ma account.
And then you have this, something else, and that's, and then reports come. While one messenger is still standing, another one comes, another one comes. And they tell you all your money has vanished.
And Maria knew say aparara.
And no chance of recovery.
Ah, ichakwanisa kuzowanikwa.
And then this comes, and then finally it says,
Mumachanoya.
Your child, not children,
and mwana wako kwete vana,
has perished in an accident.
Aparara mutsauna imugwagwa.
Chances are, even if you might not denounce God, you might just collapse.
Pamwe,
blackout. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Think of that situation.
All
the children gone. And now Satan is allowed to touch the body of Job.
Satan attended kubata mutumbi wa Job.
And strikes him with sore boils, not just boils, but sore.
Amurova ne mamota airi wadza, kwete mamota bedzi.
If it was today,
dayangari nasi,
they'd have said, the brother must go for some tests.
Vanhu dayangari nasi unzi im, ama ngaimbonongororwa kuti haina shura matongo here.
Amen. He must go and say, you know, although he's a brother, but the symptoms are showing something else.
The view of the people.
Amen. And some maybe coming to Sister Job. Are you sure your husband is really faithful? How come he seems to have what the unfaithful men have? The view of the people. Amen. Instead of strengthening Sister Job, they were putting more doubt upon her about the husband. Sometimes when we go through hard times, there are some who are like the friends of Job's wife. And when they come, instead of strengthening you, they even weaken you further. The sister, you must pray and fast and find out, maybe there's something hidden. Amen. That's the view of human beings on earth. But in heaven, God had a different view. He was still saying, Satan, no matter what you do, he cannot deny me. When heaven appears to be silent, it is not that God is not doing something. God, when he works, he decides to go silent. For he does not owe any one of us a progress report or an explanation of what he's doing. He is Lord of our lives. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is the guide of our lives. He knows exactly where he's guiding us. God help us. Now it comes to verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still remain thy integrity? Curse God and die. By chapter 2, Sister Job surrenders.
In chapter 2, mudzimai waJob akanda mapfumo pasi.
In the rest of the chapters, Brother Job is sitting it out alone with God.
Amen.
Amen. The battle gets so hard until the one who was supposed to comfort Job,
and Job,
also he tells Job, curse God and die. And this is only chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
And the book ends with 40, it's 42 chapters.
Buku irema chapter 42.
God help us. We trust that our wives and our sisters are not this kind during difficult times.
Avazoita sai mudzimai waJob munguva dzakaoma.
For the experience of your husband is also your experience.
Nekuti zviri kuitika kumuruma wako zviitiko zvako iwewe.
You should be able to stand and encourage him in difficult times. Unofanira
kukwanisa kumira naye nekumukurudzira munguva dzakaoma.
And Job, let's hear his reply.
Rikatinzwe minduro yake.
But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh.
Asi iye wakati kwaari, iwe unotaura sezvinotaura mumwe wavakadzi vamapenzi.
What shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?
Tingagamuchira zvakaruma mabedzi paroko rwaMwari, tikasagamuchira zvakaipawo here? Pazvinhu zvose izvi Job haana kutadza nomuromo wake.
Now, Job is not saying to his wife, you foolish woman. No, he says, you
Job
speak, you
to
speak
wake,
as one of them. Job was actually
one of them.
My wife's language now is the language of those who are. But he's not necessarily calling him a foolish woman. He's saying, but your speech, it surprises me. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, in all this, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Brothers and sisters, when the going gets hard at times in our home and in our individual lives, we are tempted to sin with our lips. To say things we should not say. To speak things that we should not speak. Sometimes we end up charging God foolishly. Sometimes we don't worship as we ought to worship. But the Bible says, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. In all this, Job did not charge God foolishly. In all this, Job worshipped.
Job akanamata.
May God help us.
Naimari vatibatsira.
Such that
kuti
whatever we go through in our life,
kuti zvisinei kuti tapfuura nemuzvakadii,
we will not accuse God.
Hatizowanira mari mhosva.
We will not sin with our lips.
Hatizotadzi nemiromo yedu.
And we will continue to worship.
Toenda mberi nekumunamata.
For worship should not be conditional.
Nekuti manamatiro edu hafanhe kunge aine zvirango.
Worship is not because you are happy. But you worship God because He's worthy all the worship. Even when you are down in the valley, you say, blessed be thy name. You are great. You don't change. Amen.
Amen.
For we are not situational Christians. But our walk with God is not tied to circumstances around us. For in the message they are looking at the unseen, the prophet of God says, when a man catches the vision of the invisible God and gets to know his ever present, then it will not matter what is going on around you. And what goes on around you will not affect you because you are looking at the unseen. You are looking beyond what the natural eyes can look at. Amen.
Amen.
He says it stabilizes your emotion. It stabilizes your thinking. When you get to know that He is ever present. Oh God help us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see Job in all this. He did not sin with his lips. He still worshipped. He did not charge God foolishly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Many times, when you go through some situation, there are some who are very quick to speak things. They interpreters of situations.
Vanhu vanodudzira mamiriro ezvinhu.
They are very quick.
Havanokurumidza.
They say things.
Vanotaura zvinhu.
Amen. Sometimes when the enemy hits your family,
dzimunguva muvengi paanorova mhuri yako,
and your child goes wayward,
mwana wako obvabuda mukutenda.
Sometimes some quickly speak things.
Pane vanokurumidza kutaura taura.
Ah, they don't believe properly. Those people are not.
But
But that's not the time to speak like that. That's the time to pray and say, God, help my brother's daughter. For if you celebrate, you are celebrating with that demon that has conquered that child. And you are befriending it. And soon it will arrive at your door. And it will even come with more friends, inviting them for their party. And when another situation hits your home, now you would want to call it a trial, but on another one you said it was God's punishment or it was a vindication that they are wrong and you are right. May God help us always that when other believers go through difficult times and situations hit their home, we should rather pray for them and not sin with our lips. But we must say things that we ought not to say, and yet God is actually allowing a trial to come upon that family, and you become one of those that misinterprets this. How shall you stand before God if you are to explain finally when you get to know why? Blessed be the name of the Lord. One time, it is said two preachers had an argument, and it was doctrinal, you know, doctrine argument about what they believed. So one says, I am right and God will vindicate. Very soon.
Manji.
I think they were not very mature characters.
So
the son of the other brother died in an accident 2 weeks later. The other brother, when he received the news, he says, oh, I'm sorry, man of God, but remember what I told you. Remember that issue of the our doctrinal
discipline.
Now the funeral passed. And 2 weeks after that burial, the very one who was saying it's vindication, his own son died in a car crash.
Brethren,
it's a difficult trial. It's a trial. It's a devil. But for the other one, he was saying it's vindication. Now, when it hits him, he wants the interpretation to change. That's opportunistic interpretation. May God help us, brothers and sisters.
Well,
we may not know why God allowed a certain individual to go through a certain situation. That when a family goes through a certain trial, don't be quick to rush to conclusion, but rather go on your knees and pray for them. Pray for whoever it is. For only God in heaven has a perfect view of why the situation happened. For the view from above is a perfect view. The view from above is accurate. For it is not man's view. It is God's perfect view. My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's read something here from the prophet about Job. Brother Branham speaks in the approach to God message, 1955. He says, now, if you ever notice how when the disaster struck Job's home, and children was all killed and everything, and all Job had was destroyed, God wasn't rebuking Job. He was only purging Job. Says, amen, I like the word a purge. The branch that bears fruits, then God purges it, that it will bring forth more fruit. So a branch that bears fruit, God prunes it, he purges it, because he wants it to bring more, even more fruit. And he says the trouble of it is, we think sometimes God is angry with us, but he's only trying to purge us. That will bring abundance of fruit, giving us a few trials.
Now,
no matter what you can go through, the prophet says, is a few trials. And God is doing it for our good. So that we can become even more fruitful than ever. The Bible says they were worth more to you than precious gold. So God was only paying Job to make him more fruitful. And when God allows trials to come your way, no matter how heavy they may appear, God is only paying you to make you more fruitful. That's what Malachi 4 tells us. And I read further, it's still in the message approach. The approach to God. He says, Job was taking his children through the only provided approach there was, the burnt offering.
Job anga chifudza vana vavo munzira yoga yanga yakapuwa.
And he says, and now here is a little thing I want you to notice. After all the turmoil and everything was over, God had taken all his sheep and his cattle and his horses and things. At the end of his chastisement,
or
purging, God doubled to him. So God made him more fruitful. Amen.
So
God doubled to him. Sometimes God tries you. He allows trials and temptations to come your way because he wants to double something for you or double you. But indeed, the trouble of it, many times we assume God is angry with us. But the view from above is perfect view. You may not know what God is thinking about it or saying about it. But be assured that God knows what He's doing all the time.
Amen.
Now let's read from the invisible union of the bride of Christ. Amen.
1965.
25th of November.
25 November.
Brother Branham says in paragraph 55.
Says
we have families. Every family in here is accustomed to that. Sometimes everything will run fine for years. For you. Then all at once, you will hit a spell where we say it many times in the south here. When it rains, it pours. And everything goes wrong. You are going through a night time. Then there's a daybreak. Then a night time. Everything runs in continuity. Now let's realize, brothers and sisters, the prophet of God says everything can run fine and well for you as a family for years. Then all at once, it's like you've hit a spell. And in the southern part of the United States, they were calling it that kind of situation, when it rains, it pours.
He
says, then it seems like it appears like everything begins to go wrong. Amen. He says, then you are going through a night time. And then he says, there will be a daybreak. And another night time. So it alternates. Amen. It alternates like day and night. Amen. Oh, God help us to realize when we go through a night time of trial that the God of the mountain is still God in the fight. And when everything appears to go wrong in your life, don't despair. God is trying your faith. And brothers and sisters, when did the night, the sower in black, what time was he sowing? It was not daytime, it was in the night. The devil is a sower in black. He loves to sow his seeds when we are in a night time, in a difficult time in a family. Look at Brother Branham himself. When he had lost the wife and the child, and he says in the for the next 11 years, it was as if the anointing has left him, and the church began to shrink. And the sower now in that nighttime period of the prophet, he began to try to sow his own seed. He begins to say, Jesus doesn't love you. Why do you take away your wife? Why do you take away your child? Just blow yourself with a gun. It was the prophet's night time. Then another time he said, just hold on to the power line and it will all be over. Oh, those thoughts of suicide only came to the prophet. It was a night time for him. But we thank God, as much as there's a night time, there's another daytime coming for you. There's a daybreak that comes. It runs in continuity like
continuity.
So when you are going through a daytime, rejoice and maximize the time. For sure the night time comes. And when you are going through a night time, there is no trial that has got eternal life. There's no trial which is permanent. Everything with a beginning has an end. It may feel like you are in an endless tunnel at times, which has got no end. But as long as it has a beginning, there's an end to it. Always hold fast, brothers and sisters. No matter how dark the night may be, hold to God's unchanging hand. For the daytime will be as sure as we speak, it will always come.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That's the prophet speaking to us about the night time. Now, the prophet of God speaks again further in the message, the masterpiece. He said, think it not strange that these trials come. Says they are working out for our good and to perfect us and to bring us into that place. These great deserts of experiences where the righteous men are molded into saints. That's God's workshop, the prophet says. Where righteous men are molded into saints. We thank thee, Lord, for these experiences, Lord. We would no mean, no wise want to do anything contrary to your will. So they are there to for our good and to perfect us and to bring us into that place. These great deserts of experiences, it's where the righteous are molded into saints. Now God is the owner of the vessel. And he wants to hold every vessel the way he desires. Now the vessel or the clay in the potter's wheel has no will of its own. It surrenders its will to the potter. If he shapes it and it's not satisfied, he can crush it back and make it molten again and remold it according to his desire. The potter always knows what he's doing. God knows always, brothers and sisters, exactly what he's molding us into. May we accept always to surrender our will into his hand. Say, Lord, thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me, break me after your own will. The way it will please you, my Father. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now in the message, I know, Brother Branham says, it is written in one of the scriptures in the Bible that the trials are brought upon us are more precious than gold itself.
For
it is God giving us this trial. I want you to note very clearly that he says, for it is God giving us this trial. It is God allowing it. After we become his property, it is God allowing these trials after we become his property. Are we his property? Is he the Lord of our lives? But the Bible says we have been bought with a price. We are no longer our own. He is our Lord. And Brother Branham says many people want Jesus to be their savior, their healer, their comforter, their provider. But not many want him to be their Lord. And he says, Lord is control over my life. He is the Lord of your life. He is the master over your life. Because you are his property. The property is in the hands of the owner. The property has no will of its own. Whether it's your car and even if it's a real good car, like let's say it's a brand new Mercedes
E-Class.
If you want to take it to Mberengo Mataka there, or you want to go to Murambinda with
it. Or you want to go to Soswe
and Dawezo or somewhere there. Amen. Or you want to go to Honda Valley or wherever you want to go. Even if the road is rugged and whatever, it's your property. It has no will of its own. You don't negotiate with it. You don't discuss with it. You just go in, you start, let's go. No matter how many people will feel pity for it. It's your property. It has no will of its own. Amen. And if we are God's property, brothers and sisters, oh, let our will be lost in his. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For he is molding us into something. He says, after we become his property, our confession and our baptism. Amen. Kupupura kwedu, amen. Interesting. In our language, when you say pupura, it's not about testifying, eh? It means to break bones, eh? when a dog is breaking hard bones,
it's a pupura.
Amazing, amen. God is a God of variety. But I think when you are testifying about God, you are breaking the devil into pieces. You know? Amen. So let's realize, he says, our confession and our baptism and our promise to walk in life for him. Then every trial that come upon us is to perfect us for his glory. It brings us to a place where God can make himself more real to us than he was before the trial come.
Amen.
Amen. Than he was before the trial.
So,
it brings us to a place where God can make himself more real to us than he was before the trial came. It's for our good always, brothers and sisters. No matter how hard the trial is, God wants to bring you to a place where he can make himself more real to you than he did before the trial came your way. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let's realize, when Job was going through what he was going through, they were his friends. They had a different view. They said what they said. Even Job at times he would lapse into the human sphere, you know.
Kunyange Job aishiko muchiyero chevanhu.
And curse the day he was born.
Ototuka zuva raakaberekwa.
But then inspiration could strike him also.
Asi kufemera kwaizo
mubata. And he will rise up from the ashes.
Usimuka kubva pamadota.
And say, I know my redeemer lives.
Ati ndoziva mudzikinuro wangu anorarama.
No wife to comfort him.
Hapana mudzimai anomunyaradza.
Yet she was there alive.
Asi akanga ari pari mupenyu.
There are times some trials can be heavy until you feel like there's no one else.
Inenge akaoma zvekunofunga hapana mumwe munhu.
That's the time you have to do like David.
Ndongoya unofanira kuita saDavid.
The Bible says.
Bible rinoti.
David encouraged himself in the Lord.
And David akazvikurudzira ega munashe.
God would be wanting you to really get to a point. Where this thing is so real and more real to you. Now, you know, to have an experience about something is one thing. To hear that about that experience from someone who has had it is a different thing. One time we were burying one brother's wife. And at the graveyard, hey, the children, it was tough. Their mother just dropped and died, and she was not very old. She was probably 60-something.
Yes.
And the children, only the father in the home is a believer. The children go to Pentecostal churches. And you know, it was one of those moments where you hear people cry like until it affects everyone.
And one of
the daughters now knelt by the graveyard, raised their hands, almost fell into the grave.
And
she started screaming, you know, after the coffin had gone down. And the next thing she was speaking in tongues. You know, tongues. And another one screaming there, another one. And then our brother also broke down. So after the burial, some people were saying, but these people were just dramatic. Meaning the children to the brother. Because they are grown up, I think one of them is married and they are well over
30.
I said, me, I don't want to comment because I have never lost a mother. I don't know, maybe me, I will be doing the same. I said, I don't want to comment. I don't want to take it that they were foolish. Because I've lost a father, yes, I know. That pain, I know. But the one of losing a mother, I don't know yet. But the man also, why was he not strong enough? And I said, hey, look, me, I still have my wife. I hear it's very painful. But at the moment, I haven't gone through that experience. And I don't wish to go through it. Although it comes in life. And I said, just leave it, pray for them, for you don't know how it is to lose a mother. But you know, God is the one that knows exactly how you feel. For he is the high priest of our confession. Who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, that's why we can hand it to God always. For fellow human beings, we can comfort one another, we can encourage one another. But brothers and sisters, we have someone higher, a high priest of our confession, who can be touched by the feelings of our
infirmities.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let's realize here that Job's friend's view was not what God's perfect view was. Because the view from above is not human. The view from above is not presumption. It's not where people like put things together and say this and this or approximation or. It's not approximation. But the view from above is a perfect view. But God doesn't always share it with you. We must
we must all learn to accept
that
sometimes we may not understand why we go through the trials we go through. But God knows He's in control. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's try to move faster as we try to summarize. Now we realize, if you look at Israel in Egypt, Pharaoh's view of the Hebrews was that these are slaves. And the slaves themselves, some of them maybe assumed and also viewed themselves as permanent slaves. But God's view was, these are my sons and daughters waiting for redemption to return to the land of promise. Even when they were in the mud pit, God's view about them never changed. God's view from above was different from Pharaoh's view. When Christ was on earth, the Pharisees had one view about him.
He's
Beelzebub, is the prince of devils. He's a Samaritan. And they classified him like one of the charlatans, you know, these crooks in religious circles. But the father said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased to dwell in. Hear ye him. Now look at the prodigal son. The father's view about him was that wherever he is, he's still my son. Though he's prodigal, but he is my son. But the prodigal son's own view when he was out there, after all the things that he carried away were taken, or lost rather. And after even all the friends were lost, and the only things he could associate with was pigs now. For in the far country, it's a cruel country. The friends there were friends of convenience. It was not genuine. But when he had lost everything, and the prophet says he had shrunk in size, he was now weak, frail. And you can imagine a young man, if it was our modern times, who goes away with the designer suits and designer hat, designer watch,
designer car,
sports car, and a removal truck that came to load the furniture, and gets into a bar in the far country, and would be sponsoring his friends in riotous living. And said to the bar girl, close, all you paupers here, all of you, choose what you want, what drink, what beer you want. And you can imagine after a few minutes when they are all drunk, if there's anything drunk people can do is to talk. They begin to declare they are going to vote him the MP of the area, though he was not a citizen of the country.
As
a drunk man, anything is possible to you.
He
says, no, I can't. They say, we'll change the constitution. And he thought he had friends. They were friends of his beer. But when all was lost, the father's view about him never changed. Prodigal son's view of himself began to change a little bit. Says, maybe I'll just go back and be a servant. But the father's view never changed. And when he saw him returning,
Oh, he said, oh, this is my son. The one who became prodigal. Now he's a returning son. And he returned and he became a restored son. And he became a blessed son. The father's view never changed. Oh, brothers and sisters, God has a certain view about his children. No matter what the devil tries around them, God's view remains the same.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Now watch David in the troubled years.
David,
maybe some they saw him as a rebellious young man. Maybe they thought so. But to God, he was his chosen to be the king over
Israel.
No matter what Saul thought. No matter what the Philistines thought, God had a certain view of, about David. Says, this is a man after my own heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can take Moses, born a deliverer, born a prophet. One time he also fled from
Egypt.
You can imagine him thinking, I'm a failure. I'll just be a shepherd here, take care of my father-in-law's sheep. The revolution I tried to do in Egypt has not worked out. But God's view about Moses and God's purpose for Moses had never changed. He was to be a deliverer. He was a prophet. God's view from above
had
never changed. You look at
Brother Branham
in the silent troublous years. The time before 1946. Even himself, he felt like, I'm useless. I'm hopeless. I'm not worth living. But God had a certain view about
him.
God's view. It's a perfect view. This is my Elijah. This is the one to fulfill Revelation
10:7.
This is the one that will declare the mystery and finish it. God's view, perfect view, was that this is the very one that will declare the hidden secrets of God and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. No matter what Brother Branham thought about himself, no matter what denominations thought about him and what they declared about him, saying he's a false teacher, he's what and all that, God had a certain permanent view about him. And God's purpose cannot be defeated. At the end of it, God's prophet carried out the day. Oh, brothers and sisters, God has a view from above about you. And when you are going through a troublous time, remember something, brother and sister, that God sees all situations. God knows, he's omniscient, he knows all things. God is watching from a vantage point.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, maybe as we close, just a few examples here. Now, when you are a student and you are writing your test, there's regulations and guidelines of how you should conduct yourself. And you are told, don't carry any material, it's not an open book exam. And the teachers, they want what is in you to manifest on paper. They want to check how much has gone in you. Now, there are people that sometimes would depend on doing some strange things like copying. I used to teach in a university for 14 years. And we saw things that were amazing at times. A paper of this size Someone almost compressed the notes of the whole term. The main points. I tell you, that is amazing. You ask yourself, that intelligence, couldn't someone just read and store the content? Kana munhu ane pfungwa dzakatesva kuti anogona kusummarize zvinhu zvetemu yese kuisapa akadi kungoverenga. And some would make sure they exam time they put in dreadlocks, what do you call braids. Vamwe dzimwe nguva anotonorukwa madreads. So that if it becomes tough, they just throw the braids forward like this. Kuti kana zvaoma anongodonhedza madreads. And through the braids, their eye, without the invigilator realizing, it turns into the neighbor's paper. And they see life on the paper. And some, if one there's an eraser, invigilator, I don't have an eraser. The invigilator says, oh, okay, can you borrow it? And that eraser, sometimes it will circulate the whole hall. Eh? And along the way, it will be discovered there are formulas in it. Now, that's shortcuts. And then someone passes. But when he gets to work, there's no one that is to copy from. He fails to perform. His claim and confession. He fails to live up to it. He has a bachelor's degree. In accounts.
My accounts.
But he can't do a basic balance sheet.
Balance sheet.
Because all the time he was crossing through others. He was failing to carry his own cross. And if that child is caught, he will be sometimes expelled out of the examination because the conduct was not commensurate with the activity he was to undertake. And God also gives us tests and trials. And they are like speed traps.
Amen.
The police can pitch up anywhere.
Amen.
They assume you know how to drive, you know the regulations. Now, God does not always say, be careful, there's a trial coming your way like this. But that test is to try to really bring out what is in you. And we have to have a certain conduct that pleases God even in trials. With Job, he sinned not with his lips. He did not charge God foolishly. He continued to worship in trial. Abraham staggered not at his promise. The Bible says of David, he behaved himself wisely. There are trials that God gives you. Sometimes they come through your workmates, your neighbors. Where all you need is just behave yourself wisely. If not, you can fall into the hands of the enemy. And the enemy says, yeah, that's it.
Muvengo bati, yes, tsatuaro.
So you have to ask God for guidance.
Nofana kukumbira Mwari.
It's not every time when we have to speak and reply and make explanations.
Adzisingwa dzose dzatinofana kupindura kana kutsanangura.
God might want you to be silent.
Dzimenguva Mwari vada kuti ungonyarara.
But our tendency as human beings,
asi isusu hunhu hedu sevanhu,
is when mud splashes on you, we quickly try to rub it. And then trying to rub it when it's wet, it spreads even more. But if you let it dry, and let time pass, you'll just do like this. And there's no dirt that remains. But many times,
asikakawanda,
for us to go through that waiting period, like Brother Branham says, those in the outer court, say, I couldn't help it, I cast them out. To go through that waiting period, sometimes we are not willing. You might not prove your innocence in every circumstance, in every situation, to your neighbor, to your neighbor, to your colleagues, to your relatives. But at times it's wise to just be quiet. And God himself knows the integrity of your heart. And God along the way proves that it was not the way people viewed it. Look at Joseph. They said he's dead. Don't you think when he was in Egypt, he could have written a letter and sent messengers to his father to say, I'm alive, I'm in Egypt? Probably he could have. But his father believed when they said he's dead. But after a passage of time, the same mouth that said he was dead and the same mouth that came back testifying and saying he's alive. Now the same mouth that can say you're a bad person, bad neighbor, bad woman, and accuse you of things you have never done, if you choose to behave wisely and be quiet, along the way God can turn the same mouth.
So
turn around and say, this brother is a brother.
This
woman is a sister. This wife of mine is a Christian. You have to let time pass. Amen.
Amen.
And God in his time, he makes all things beautiful. David behaved himself wisely. That's what is very important when we go through trials. I've been a pastor for about 13 years, but I've been preaching for over 25 years. And I realize also on my side as a person, there are situations I look back and I say, I wish there I did not speak. I wish there I did not react like this. Amen.
Amen.
Look at Jesus. First, it was a battle. In Gethsemane, the prophet says it was the father left him in
Gethsemane.
And there he's crying. And then he says, Father, not my will, but
mine.
And the prophet says that was his greatest victory.
Because
in times of trial, we are tempted to do our will more than the will of God. But there he says, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Then we see him, brothers and sisters. He comes and he's hung on the cross. Now it's public humiliation. And everybody speaks as they desire of him. And some spit on his face. Even another thief who needed his help begins to ridicule and revile him. Oh, sometimes you are battling alone, the mind battles. You are like in your little Gethsemane out there. But it can also come to a place where it's like a public humiliation. Where everybody speaks as they desire. Oh, but don't worry. Behave like Jesus. For he never called fire upon them. But rather he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. But they had not asked for forgiveness yet. But he still forgave them nevertheless. Don't wait until everybody who has wronged you come to say, I'm sorry. We must be like Jesus in all our parts of our life. And you can say, Father, my neighbors, my work, my relatives that have hurt me so much, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You must dispense mercy. You must be a dispensary of love, of peace, of joy and happiness. Amen.
Amen.
And there he was hanging on the cross. Everyone saying what they desired to say. But one thing was certain. That on the third day he shall rise. There will be an empty tomb in Jerusalem. But he was like a sheep before the slot, the shearers. Oh, may God help us. That when we go through trials, there's moments where we just have to be silent in prayer. For we know not why that neighbor is treating you the way he is treating you. Maybe God wants to manifest through you some virtues that are in you. Amen.
Amen.
And let it be his will, not our will. You can look at a man like Stephen when he's been stoned. We don't hear him calling fire upon those people or testing them. But the Bible says, Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, steadfastly looked towards heaven. There was nothing to look to around the earth. All other ground was sinking sand. Full of the Holy Ghost, he looked to the right direction. He looked towards heaven. And he begins to say this testimony. He doesn't say, I feel the stones hit me. I feel the pain on this face and on the other side of the face. But he says, I see heavens open. And I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he says, Lord, lay it not to their charge. The same word Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Brothers and sisters, when trials get hard in our lives, let us steadfastly look towards heaven. And we will see Jesus and his progress. And we will not feel the pain of the stones that hit us. Because we are looking at the right direction. We are seeing him who is invisible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can look at Paul and Silas when they are in jail in prison. The Bible says at midnight. At midnight, I like that, brothers and sisters. At midnight. Now remember, Brother Branham says, when you go through trials, it's a night time. Spiritual night time. At midnight. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, that they sang hymns and praises to God at midnight when others were asleep. There are those moments when you have to sing psalms and hymns to God and the silence of the night. And then God wrought a miracle and opened the prison doors. And yet they were not praying and they were not shouting and complaining. Say, God, open the gates. God, do this. The Bible says they were singing praises to God and singing hymns and psalms at midnight. May we, as we always go through some midnight in our lives, may we always learn to sing psalms and praises to God. But when we sing psalms and praises and give him the glory, God will do something. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the last one. The prophet speaks of a woman whose husband was a drunkard. And he's speaking with his friends in the bar. And the friends are convinced there is no genuine Christian. But the wife had lived such a lie. And the man testifies and says, I know one at least.
There's no
way. You know, drunk people sometimes it's like the tongue can't fit in the mouth. You know, the way they speak. Sometimes they're on slow motion. And he says, at home. They said, ah, who? My wife. It is said that they also have ability to tell the truth. He will tell you what he thinks of you. And they decided to exaggerate their drunkenness. Though they were drunk, but they amplified it.
And
they decided to go and check whether this testimony is true. But now our poor sister at home was not aware of the conversation in the bar. But there must have been a conversation in heaven as well, where God says, I know my daughter can take this one. So she's not aware of the conversation in the bar. She's not aware of the conversation in heaven. But she's a Christian in and out.
Asi muKristu pane zvese.
And then they arrive at home.
Sidhakwa zvakasvika kumba.
And of course, struggling with balance.
Vachidzedzereka zvavo.
Moving back and forward. And in our Tswana language, when someone is drunk, we say they are chasing little goats. You know, little goats never go straight. This side of the path. So there they come. Hey, you. Calling someone's wife, hey, you. And she makes some food, brings to them. Husband takes, throws the plate down. I don't like it, I want this egg, this food like this. Like this.
So
she goes back, brings back. Same story. The sister was under a test. And I can imagine God in heaven speaking the same word to Satan the way he spoke about
Job.
But she's not aware of the conversation up there. God saying, I know she can take this. Brothers and sisters, many times when we are undergoing trials, God is saying, I know he can take this. Let never our view narrow until we just think like human beings. And the next thing, when she returns, is it second or third time back in the kitchen? She did not react like the way a non-converted wife would have. Because they arrive at that time of the night. First, an unconverted non-Christian wife would have said, sort yourself out. And now if the food was thrown out, down rather, a wife who fears no God would have told him what he has eaten and what he has not eaten. I wish I knew a Shona proverb of expressing it.
But
should have said, you think I'm your doormat? I'm not your slave. Slave was abolished by the British Empire in 1836. But there she was. Christ in her. Controlling her emotions. Christ in her, holding her together. And she goes back into the kitchen. And she begins to sing this song. Must Jesus bear the cross alone?
And
all the world go free.
No,
there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. And brothers and sisters, you passed the test.
Aman, zazi akakunda muyezo.
The presence of God struck those drunkard men. And when she returns, she finds them crying. And they say, we want that Jesus of yours. She conducted herself right under the test. May God help us to know how to react during the times when we are tried. Or when we pass the test. And it pleases God. He does something for us until we say we know it was worth it all. Oh, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. There's a view from above. Even when heaven appears to be silent, God knows what he's doing. God is in charge. God is in control. Take your cross and follow him. The Bible says daily.
Amen.
And we will understand it better by and by. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless you richly, brothers and sisters.
Hallelujah.
May we stand to our feet at this time.
Ngatisimukei netsoka dzedu panguva ino.
Amen.
Amen.
Maybe we can sing that song, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone? As we hand over the service back.
Service.
Son, leader, brother, maybe help us with that song. Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone? Or maybe rather, let's sing it as well. Amen. When peace like a river. Amen. The song of Spafford. Amen. Yes, man.
Love.